I want to welcome all of you who have come from different places to participate in this Assembly Bible Classes for Teens, ABC for Teens 2017. I sincerely want to thank the Lord for helping the local assembly at Borivali Assembly also to organize this sort of a program this year also. And I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to come and to share on the Word of God for another 3-4 days. It is my desire that the amount of time which we will be spending to listen to the Holy Scripture from gifted teachers like Thompson Uncle, Brother Koshi Matthew Uncle, Brother Johnny Varghese and the others. I know that the sitting and hearing the Word of God will be a great sort of blessings and encouragement to all of us. And not only that, I am also sure that you will enjoy the fellowship of one another in the coming 1 week's time. The topic which I have asked to share before you is the Feast of Jehovah, which is there in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. This may not be a easy subject for all of you, but I will try my best to make this subject as simple as possible. Actually, study of this all 7 feasts of Jehovah, when I have done it in the past, it is about more than 50 classes. But to put a study of Feast of Jehovah into one class each, it is a little bit of tough time for me also. But as much as possible, we will try and pick the importance and important truths which is mentioned in each 7 Feast of Jehovah. I have total 8 sessions to take on this Feast of Jehovah. The first session we will be dealing upon the introductory part only. And the remaining 7 sessions, God willingly, we will see each session and each feast we will try to cover in the each session. So, for the introductory part, we will have the overlook of the 7 feasts, Feast of Jehovah. And mainly, we will try to study them from the book of Leviticus chapter 23 verses 4 onwards. First of all, the introduction of the Feast of Jehovah. People around the globe, they have different calendar and they function accordingly. For example, our New Year or the English New Year is different. But as far as Maharashtrians are concerned, the Marathi New Year is different. The Islamic New Year is different, which is called as Muharram. The Chinese New Year is also different. And we follow, and most of these people follow their New Year according to their calendar. Similarly, God has His own calendar. And God always function not according to our calendar, but He function and He operates according to His calendar. God's calendar is totally different than your and our calendar. In order to understand how God operates, how God functions, we should understand God's calendar. And these 7 feasts, they are God's calendar. Primarily, these 7 feasts were given for the people of Israel. But it is not only for the people of Israel, it is also God's calendar for the entire humanity. The 7 feasts are God's calendar which is given not only primary for the people of Israel, but it is also for God's program for the entire humanity. Now, as far as the children of Israel, they are concerned, it is God's calendar for them from their release or release from the bondage of Egypt till their rest. But as far as God's calendar for the humankind or the humanity is concerned, it has greater and higher plans and purposes of God. This feast is also for the entire humanity. It is for, from man's salvation to the man's eternal rest. As far as the introductory part is concerned, these are Jehovah's feast. These are not Jews' feast. When we study, especially the four first book of New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, there are various occasions and there are various words where Jews' feast is mentioned. But I want to clear this aspect also. They are not Jews' feast, but they are Jehovah's feast. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 2 and Leviticus chapter 23 verse 4, it is very clear that they are God's feast. 23 verse 2 says like this, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord. And again there is a mention of these are my feasts. So God says these are my feasts. They are Jehovah's feast. Again in verse 4 we have the similar occurrence, similar phrase. These are the feast of the Lord. So Jehovah's feast means his divine appointment, particular time which is fixed by Jehovah himself. When we see the appointment, if you want to go to a doctor or generally if you want to go to meet any person who is having a higher office, higher authority, generally we used to take their appointment. We will take the appointment few days ahead and on that appointed time we will go and we will meet him. So the Jehovah's feast means it is God's divine appointment. It is God who has fixed or set a particular time. The word holy convocation. Now again for the appointment or the feast it is mentioned as a holy convocation. This word holy convocation have occurred about 11 times in a chapter of Leviticus 23. 11 times. Holy convocations means to meet someone by appointment. And here a person who is giving the appointment is not man but it is God. In the Garden of Eden we see a similar kind of a situation. Example given in the Garden of Eden, God used to meet Adam and Eve. But here, God is asking his people to come and to meet him. So, the feast of Jehovah, they are Jehovah's feast and it is a particular set of time. It is appointment which is given by God himself. Now, feast of Jehovah as per Leviticus 23. There are about 7 feasts of Jehovah in Leviticus chapter 23. So these 7 feasts of Jehovah, they are in order given in Leviticus chapter 23. They are like this. The first one is the feast of Passover. Second one, feast of unleavened bread. Third one, feast of first fruits. Fourth one, feast of Pentecost. Fifth one, feast of trumpets. Sixth one, the day of Atonement. And the seventh and the last one is the Feast of Tabernacles. So in the days to come, these all 7 feasts we are going to study. But here is the list of the 7 feasts for your look. And as we will go further in our studies, I am going to ask you the question. So if you are writing the notes, please be careful to write some of the important things. And we will be repeating these things. Anyway, whatever portion we are going to cover it, we will make sure and we will try to make sure that you understand the portion which we are going to study from the Word of God. So please make a note if you have pen and paper, and if you don't have, after the session, you can have your pen and paper. So, these are the Feast of Jehovah. Banaya, can you help? Anyway, okay. Just sit here in case it is in between. Yeah. So, it's not coming on the slide, see? Yeah. So, 7 points in this introductory session. These are the first one. Some of these feasts were called as pilgrimage feasts. Now, what does this word pilgrimage means. Abhishek, pilgrimage feast. Pilgrimage ka matlab kya hai? Yeah, pilgrimage means they have to make a journey. So out of these seven feasts, some feasts are called as a pilgrimage feast because God has already mentioned in the book that this feast, some of these feasts, they have to travel from their home country or from their homeland to the place called Jerusalem, the God's chosen place. When our Johnny brother was saying, then there he has also mentioned that Jerusalem, initially it was Shiloh, the place which God selected, and then when the temple was built, then it is a temple which is built in Jerusalem. So that was the place. So out of these seven feasts, three feasts are called as a pilgrimage feast. So these three feasts, they have to travel from their home to that particular place and celebrate the feast at that place in Jerusalem. And the pilgrimage feasts are the feast of Passover. It's very slow, Banaya. It's coming here, but it's not coming on the slide. The feast of Passover, the feast of Pentecost, and the feast of Tabernacles. So these three feasts are called as a pilgrimage feast. Now let us try and understand some truths which are connected to the pilgrimage feast. The truth is, the feast of Passover speaks about the first coming of Lord Jesus Christ. The second feast, which is a feast of pilgrimage, is the feast of Pentecost. That speaks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the third pilgrimage feast, which is the feast of Tabernacle, it is the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, or also His second coming, the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, which we can say as the second advent of His second coming, or second part of His second advent. So these feasts are called as a pilgrimage feast. Three feasts speaks about the three different comings or three different advents. It is not only three different coming of Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also three different characters of Lord Jesus Christ. Three feasts, pilgrimage feast, three different comings or advent, and three different characters of Lord Jesus Christ. When we see feast of Passover, we have the character of Lord Jesus Christ. That is, Lord Jesus Christ is the sufferer. He is the sufferer. Feast of Pentecost, Lord Jesus Christ is a sympathizer. And the third feast, that is the feast of Tabernacles, Lord Jesus Christ is a sovereign. He is a sovereign king. So these three pilgrimage feasts shows us the different characters of Lord Jesus Christ also. And also His ministry. Passover, His past ministry. Pentecost, His present ministry. And He is the sovereign. He is future ministry. The future ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. The second aspect as introduction is, these feasts were celebrated in different months. Now, we have the 12 months calendar or 12 months picture slide before us. Our 12 months and the 12 months of Jews and Israel, they are totally different. So, this feast occurred in different months, especially first, second and third feasts, they were celebrated in the first month called Nisan. Nisan is the Jews' first month. The another name for Nisan is Abib. So the first three feasts, that is the Pentecost, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruit, they occurred in the Nisan. Nisan is the first month. The fourth feast was celebrated in the third month, that is the Sivan. This is their third month, Sivan. So when it is their Sivan, as per our calendar, our month is May and June. So it is the third month that is called as a Sivan. And the fourth, fifth, sixth and seventh feast, they were celebrated in the seventh month, and their seventh month is called as a Tishri. The another name is Ithanim. So this is their seventh month where all these remaining three feasts used to occur. So they were celebrated in different months. Not only different months, but also these feasts were celebrated in different seasons. Now we have different seasons, but different, the seasons of Jewish people, Israelites, were mainly two. That are spring and autumn. These are their two different main seasons. So these feasts were celebrated in the different seasons also. The first four feasts occurred during the spring of the year. The spring of the year. And the last or the remaining three feasts occurred during the autumn of the year. Now what it speaks to us? The first four feasts speaks about the life, the work, the death, and the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. These four feasts are fulfilled in the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the last three feasts, they are in the autumn of the year. They will be fulfilled in the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. They will be fulfilled in the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. As the first four feasts were fulfilled, we are very much sure that the remaining three feasts prophetically, they are going to fulfill very soon. The third aspect, the fourth aspect, these feasts were for limited days. Limited days means out of these seven feasts, we can divide this feast into two categories. First one is a one day feast and the second category would be 7 days feast. So can anyone try to tell me which feasts are called as a one day feast? Means they are to be celebrated just for a one day. One day feast. Five are one day feast and two are 7 days feast. Okay, which is one day feast? First one, Passover is one day or 7 days? Yeah, Passover is a one day feast. And then, what about feast of unleavened bread? One day or 7 days? Feast of unleavened is for 7 days. The second in a row, the second one day feast is feast of first fruit. It is for one day. Then Pentecost, it is also for one day. Then trumpets, it is again for one day. The day of atonement, it is also for one day. So, one day feast is feast of Passover, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, and the day of atonement. So, these are the first one day feast. One day feast shows that this incident have happened in the history just once in a time. There will not be repetition of that history again in future. For example, now the death of Lord Jesus Christ, it is only one day or once incident. It will not be repeated again and again. The death of Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. Once incident, it will not happen again and again. The coming of Holy Spirit, the experience which happened in the day of Pentecost, it is not again and again. So one day feast means the incident which have happened in the history will not be repeated. But 7 days feast, they are not like that. Okay. One day feast also shows that this incident is and will be for a short time also. It is not for a longer time and it is not for a longer duration. Now, the remaining two feasts were 7 days feast and they were the feast of unleavened bread and the last one, that is a feast of Tabernacle. Now, it also speaks something to us. 7 days feast shows that this incident will be for a longer time. For example, now 7 days feast, that is a feast of unleavened bread. And we will try and see, wherever it is possible, we will try and apply these truths to our life. Now, the feast of unleavened bread, it is for us 7 days. Now, after our salvation, we need to stay unleavened. We need to stay good life or we need to live our life not only for a 7 days but for a 7 is always a number of completion. So throughout our life we will try to live or we should be live as a unleavened, not a life which is having leaven. Leaven is always mentioned in Bible as a symbol or picture of evil or picture of sin. So, throughout our life, we should try and live unleavened. Again, the Feast of Tabernacles, in the future fulfillment, the Feast of Tabernacles speaks about 1,000 years reign or 1,000 years Lord Jesus Christ's millennium kingdom. And it is also for a longer time and longer duration. So, the fifth point we have already seen. The fourth point we have seen. The fifth one is, these were agricultural feast. Now, why it is also called as a agricultural feast? There are some reasons behind it. The feast of first fruits was celebrated during the harvest time. If you study this feast very carefully, God has given or it is connected with their harvest time or their harvest in the field. The third feast, that is the feast of first fruit, was celebrated during the barley harvest. The fourth feast, that is the feast of Pentecost, was celebrated during the wheat harvest. And the feast of tabernacles was celebrated during corn and wine harvest. The reference is Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 13. So these feasts are also the agricultural feast. These feasts were also memorial feast. Now it is called as a memorial feast, and there is some reason. Exodus chapter 12 verse 14, chapter 13 verse 3, and Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 12. Can anyone help me in reading? Maybe because you can read one verse from Exodus chapter 12 verse 14. If you have Hindi Bible, you can read in Hindi, and those who are having English Bible, you can see in your English Bible also. Exodus chapter 12 verse 14. Padhiye Vikas. Yeah. Exodus 12 verse 14 says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it as a feast. See, 12 verse 14, 13 verse 3, remember this day. And again, Deuteronomy 16 verse 12, thou shalt remember. So these feasts are also called as a memorial feast. They were for a memory. Now, for example, we remember our birthday. We remember the Independence Day. We remember special occasions in our life. And when that exact day comes, we used to remember that day in the past, in our history. So similarly, God wants that they should remember something. Likewise, through this feast, God wants them to remember who they were and how they were. So that is why God is asking that through this feast, remember. This should be for the memorial, for the remembrance. The sixth point, the seventh one. These were also called as a prophetic feast. Why it is called as a prophetic feast? See, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians and verse 11. We will read this. Now, here Paul is writing to the church at Corinthians. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples. The original word in Greek for ensamples is mentioned as tupos. Now, Paul is saying something. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensample. Ensample means tupos. And the English meaning of the word called tupos is a type, or you can say a picture. To make, what is tupos? Tupos means type. Tupos means to make an impression or mark by applying pressure. What is tupos? Let us repeat this definition. What is tupos? Tupos means to make an impression or to make a mark by applying pressure. बचपन में कभी आपने स्कूल में मार खाई है? दिस डेज देयर इज नो बीटिंग इन स्कूल और कॉलेजेस, बट दोज डेज व्हेन वी वर स्मॉल, इफ सम इफ वी आर नॉट डूइंग एनी होमवर्क और इफ देयर इज एनी मिसचीवस इन अवर क्लासरूम, द टीचर यूज्ड टू बीट अस लाइक एनीथिंग. आपने कभी मार खाई है स्कूल में? खाई है. वंस हैपेंड विथ मी एंड आई थॉट एंड आई वॉज थिंकिंग दैट this incident might help you to know the exact meaning of tupos. एक बार क्या हुआ, वंस व्हेन आई वाज स्मॉल आई वाज इन सेवंथ स्टैंडर्ड एंड इन अवर सेवंथ स्टैंडर्ड अवर क्लास टीचर, ही वाज अवर इंग्लिश क्लास टीचर, हिज नेम वाज सेबेस्टियन सर, ही गेव अस सम होमवर्क टू डू, बट दैट डे आई डिड नॉट द होमवर्क. जनरली आई एम यूज्ड टू बी अ वेरी गुड स्टूडेंट, बट दैट डे आई डिड नॉट डू द होमवर्क. सो व्हेन हिज क्लास बिगेन ही आस्क्ड अस, हू हैज नॉट कंप्लीटेड द होमवर्क, प्लीज स्टैंड अप. So I also stood up, and don't worry, along with me there were another 2-3 students were also there. So we all stood up. So he came to our Sebastian sir. He came near my bench and he hit me with a very hard hand. He hit me on my face. All his 5 fingers were on my cheek. That is called as a two pose. Two pose means to make an impression or to make a mark by applying pressure. He hit me so hardly with a very strong pressure that the students, my neighbor, my fellow students, they could see all 5 fingers of my teacher on my face. Two pose means making the impression or making a mark by applying pressure. For example, like making the impression of thumb on a paper. Nowadays we are signing on the paper, but those olden days, जब वो लोग पढ़े लिखे नहीं थे, हमारे grandmother और great grandmother, grandfather, अगर उनको किसी जगह पे साइन करने को बोलते थे, so what they used to do, they will give, इसीलिए हम लोग हिंदी में क्या बोलते हैं, अंगूठा छाप. What they will used to do, वो लोग अपना अंगूठा एक इंक में या साई में डुबा के इस पेपर के ऊपर बड़े जोर से प्रेशर देते थे. So that is called as a two pose, like impression of thumb on a paper, like impression of fingers while mixing the dough, like impression of wax or seal on government paper, like impression of nails on the hands of Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in college, there was one student. He was very fond of Michael Jackson. I was just thinking, and that is why in my notes I have written here MJ. MJ means Michael Jackson. I was really thinking whether to give you this example or not. But I was very much encouraged when our dear brother Johnny also gave the example of... he gave an example of which film star? Some actress he gave the... example. He was trying to illustrate this and trying to prove the point. So, when I was in college, college mate, and he was very fond of Michael Jackson. Everywhere in his home, Michael Jackson photo. Not only in his home also, in his personal room, Michael Jackson photo. Not only that, his bathroom also, Michael Jackson photo. So everywhere you go, you will see Michael Jackson, because he was very fond of Michael Jackson. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, God loves His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, so much that He has made His Son's impression to boast everywhere in the Bible. From the Old Testament, you can see from Genesis till Revelation, you will see the impression, the to boast of Lord Jesus Christ everywhere in the scripture. We will read only 2 verses. John chapter 5, verse 46 also you can see, but at this moment, we will read Luke chapter 24 verse 27. See, the two posts, the impression of Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament also. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Lord Jesus Christ, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Even in the Old Testament, there were two posts, there were types, there were pictures of Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we see again in verse 44 also, the last part of verse 44. That are things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me, concerning Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one person to whom God loves, and that is Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why everywhere you open the scripture, everywhere you see the tupos, the impression which is praised, the impression which is made by very high of Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we see. This feast also, feast of Jehovah, they are also in many ways the picture, the impression, the topos of Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one, and then we will conclude the introductory session. That is, have you ever traveled from a tunnel? Bogde madun kadhi pravas kela hai? Tunnel se guzre hai? Jab hum tunnel se jate hai, when we are passing through tunnels, after coming somewhere in the middle, we see some light coming from behind and some light coming from ahead. These seven feasts are something like that, a journey of our in the tunnel. Now, these feasts are similar to the light in the tunnel. The first four feasts, which are Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, and the Pentecost, they are like the light which is coming from behind. They have already occurred. But again, there is light which is coming from ahead. And this remaining three feasts, that is the last feast, they are the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They are something called the light which is coming from ahead. Now, in that tunnel journey, we are somewhere in the end to the tunnel. These four feasts already historically, and with the coming of, or the first coming of Lord Jesus Christ, have already occurred. We are not going to go back again in that journey. We are already past that journey and we are at the end of the tunnel. Now we have the light which is coming from ahead. And these three feasts are similar to that light. You see, the trumpets, you see, the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacle, they will be fulfilled very soon in the days to come. So in the first session, as I said, I will be dealing little bit about the introductory part. Once we hear the introductory part, then it will be little bit easier for me, because when we study each feast in each class, it will not be possible to ponder upon each and every minute details and each and every word study. But we will just touch as the Holy Spirit, and as I have prepared it, the way the Holy Spirit leads us, we will see some of the important truths which are mentioned in the seven feasts. And it is my prayer that you may generate a sort of interest to study these seven feasts in your personal study. We will take a break of 5 minutes, and after the 5 minutes we will come and again sit for the second session, that is the second session of mine. And in our second session we will deal the first feast, which is called as a Feast of Passover. We'll just take a break for 5 minutes, and if you want, you can go out. And it is the request that please come as soon as possible. Whatever amount of time we will try to get for our second session, we will use it. So the spending of the time and sitting under the light of the Word of God may bring glory to Him and may also bring blessings to all of us. Thank you.